Blog Talk Radio.
An entrepreneurial relationship revolution. So yeah, today we came on with one of my favorite artists, Mr. Stevie Wonder. You Haven't Done Nothing. I thought that was a very appropriate opening song for today's topic, which is politics. That's about sums up how I really feel about it. But since that's today's topic, we're going to talk about it a little bit. So we were thinking of going on camera in July, but, you know, this is a radio podcast, and trying to do YouTube while I'm on the radio and all that, I'm not trying to do all that. This is a radio podcast. It's an audio. When I get ready to do a TV show, it'll be just that. But for now, just listen to my voice and hear what I'm trying to tell you. So, today's topic, politics. And since politics and economics intertwine, this is a very broad topic. Now, I don't usually talk about this current United States president because he just makes me sick to even think about the things that he says and does. But this recent, I'm sipping on some ginger turmeric tea with honey. So this morning, I watch Meet the Press on Sunday mornings, right? So they were talking about a lot of things, but they were talking about the Russian probe and the indictment of the 20-some-odd Russians and this upcoming meeting between Trump and Putin. But what I found most interesting, like I said, I don't even really talk about him because it's ridiculous to me that the stuff that he's doing and getting away with it, I just can't wrap my brain around it. But what caught my attention this morning was that not only on Meet the Press, they said not only did the Russians interfere with the U.S. elections, guess what else they did? They actually created the electronic currency called Bitcoin. They created that to fund their interference in the U.S. elections. I'm just leave that right there. I just thought that was just, what? So I'm just leave that right there. And I'm going to move on to my favorite subject. Yep, you guessed it. Mental wellness. Mental wellness, not mental illness, mental wellness. So let me just start. I want to tell you a story about the first year that I worked within the Philadelphia School District. I came in with my group of ninth graders, and I was a student advisor. My job was to address the kids who had a lot of latenesses and absences from school. My favorite story is this one about a young man named George. George transitioning into the ninth grade. Ninth grade is a very tough grade. You're leaving your elementary school where you were a star in the eighth grade. You had all these friends. George was an A student. But when he got to ninth grade, something happened. He started getting F's. He didn't want to come to school. He didn't come to school. He did not come to school. I stayed on him, and that was at the time when Dr. Ackerman was the superintendent, and she had put these mechanisms in place, beginning with my position, student advisors, parent ombudsmen, and we actually had truancy court. So make a long story short, of course, George used to tell me he hated me. But when we got to the bottom of it, what George was dealing with was grief. Grief is more than what we think it is. And it is often the root of a lot of what people label as mental illness or mental disorder. George's parents separated over the summer before he transitioned to the ninth grade, where everything is different. You're in a new school, you got new teachers, you don't know anybody, you got to make new friends. And he was just didn't want to come to school, didn't come to school. And once we got him in truancy court and got the family the counseling that they needed, George and I became best friends. George is still in contact with me. He's like my son from another mother. And there were other students that I dealt with, but George is my favorite story. And I think he's my favorite story because when I looked at him, I kind of saw myself as a high school senior transitioning out of high school, where I actually had a four-year scholarship to attend college, but right in the beginning of my 12th grade year, one of my family members, my cousin, was killed tragically in a car accident. That shook my family to the core. Not just me, but it shook my whole family to the core. So in dealing with my grief, instead of my family saying, oh, you going ahead and go to school, everybody was grieving. I didn't take advantage of my opportunity then, and that all stemmed from grief. When we talk about grief, grief is a change in any normal lifestyle. Grief is not just the death of someone. Grief is the loss of someone, is not just the loss of someone. Grief is the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, the loss of anything that changes suddenly in your life. You're going to experience those symptoms of grief. So I said all that to say grief sometimes is a manifestation. Mental illness is sometimes a manifestation of grief. And, you know, many of our homeless people actually suffer with mental illness and are going undiagnosed. and that's a major problem and a major concern. Many of our homeless suffer with mental illness and are undiagnosed, and many prisoners are as well. So let's talk about the prison system in Philadelphia, because, listen, this all connects back to your politics, which we, our urban communities are not included in our politics because we don't participate in them. So let's just talk about the prison facilities. I'm just going to read you something that I found on the internet. It says statewide, and again, and another place that you can go to the Committee of 70. They have some podcasts on there that are very interesting about the Office of the City Controller and just the state city politics in general. But here, listen to this. Statewide, 70% of public school districts have raised property taxes while furloughing tens of thousands of teachers, and 3 out of 4 districts plan to reduce instructional programming. The state budget finds money to make up for federal cuts that affect the corrections department to the tune of, listen to this, $187
million. $187
million. In fact, expired federal funds were replaced almost dollar for dollar with state funds for other agencies. However, this has not been done for education. So when the dollars expire for education, they are not replaced dollar for dollar as they are for the corrections department. So, you know, we've been saying for years, Dr. Ackerman, she came to Philadelphia as the superintendent for the schools, and she tried to do her best to make it right. Now, the Philadelphia School District is a huge cash cow. It's a huge cash cow. That's why there's so much back and forth with the SRC. First it was run by the city. When they milked it to death, then they take it to the state for them to milk it to death. I found a copy of the budget, the city budget, tracking budget for 2018 to 2019. And, no, I didn't print that out, but listen, the budget for education, it didn't have a total. Whoever did that budget, you forgot to put the total. You had the total for all the other all the other line items. You had the total for all the other departments. But the education department, you forgot to put the total there, okay? And then and the other thing that was not in that budget at all was any money about the corrections system. There was no money mentioned in the budget about the corrections institutions. Okay? So, I said all that to say, let's go to the parking authority. Okay? Remember the parking authority? Remember around 2000, it was before 2008, I believe, when the parking authority raised the rates on parking and meters, and they promised $40 million to the Philadelphia School District. Or was it $400 million? It was a lot of money that they never received. So I'm going to go to a testimony I found from 2014, right? And it says that DePasquale said he found evidence that Fennery misled city council. These are people from, Fennery is from the parking authority, misled city council when he testified in 2014 that the school district would receive an additional $7.5 million as the result of a parking rate increase, money that never materialized. Now, the money I'm talking about is before 2014. This was like 2007. Okay, so here in 2007, they promised $40 million. 2014, they promised $7.5 million. And guess what? The money never materialized either time. Okay? Then it goes on to state, the whole reason why the state took the parking authority over in the first place was to help the kids in the city of Philadelphia. DePasqua said, my audit shows that the school district of Philadelphia potentially missed out from mismanagement at the parking authority on approximately, listen to this. Are you ready for this? Sit down. Let me read that again. The Philadelphia School District potentially missed out from mismanagement at the parking authority on approximately $77.9 million over the past 5 years alone. That $77.9 million could have paid for 1,322 teachers, 779,000 textbooks, or 155,920 tablet computers for students. Where is the money? Again, it goes all the way back to politics, okay? Politics and money go hand in hand. Economics and politics go hand in hand. We are not included in the politics. We don't vote. We don't get out there and vote. We don't hold our elected officials accountable, and we sure don't have money to line their pockets with. So that's why we're not included in our economics, and they don't think about us when it comes to our politics. I'm looking for somebody to call in today. I can talk a lot by myself. But listen, if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 909-265-9268. I should have called my girl Sylvia Sims to call on the day and talk about this stuff with the Philadelphia School District. But so you have people in the Philadelphia School District which has failed kids for years and their parents. And now, because the newcomers, the people are coming back to Philadelphia, they want to move back into the city, and they want the schools, the public schools, to be right for their children. Now, us who have been here for years and saying that the public schools are not good for our children, although we fund them with our taxes, so we're funding the public schools with our taxes, but then we have to go put our children in private schools or hope that they get a lottery and get enrolled in a charter school so that they can get a halfway decent education. And now I'm going to put a plug in for my daughter's organization, Sky Community Partners, because that's what they do. They raise money to help parents who have decided that they want to put their children's education first, and they know that they have to pay for it because they're not going to get it from the Philadelphia public school system. So when they run into some financial difficulties, Sky Community Partners offers financial help for them. So that's the organization that my oldest daughter runs. My family is big on education. That's why I'm talking about this a lot, and that's why I'm finally going back to get my degree. Not only is my family big on education, but you know what? We have four authors in my family. Four. I'm going to do a show with just the Fisher family authors. So we have Megan Ellis. Her first book, her book was a sci-fi book. I can't think of the name of it. Then it was me. Then it was my niece Shannon, who was Megan's younger sister. She wrote two children's books. And then Danielle, I don't know if Danielle or Shannon wrote their books first. I think they wrote them around the same time. But at any rate, I have four authors in my family, and I think I'm going to do a show where we're all going to get on and talk about the creative process of writing, publishing, getting through writers. Like, I think we'll do something like that. But anyway, if you'd like to call in, the lines are open. Call in at 909-265-9268. So that's enough about politics. I think Stevie Wonder wrapped it all up when he said, "We are amazed but not amused by all the things you say that you do. Do the walk." Do the walk. So let's talk about some upcoming events we have. If you go to our website, KendallHayes.org, you'll find that we have two exciting events coming up this fall. Both of them are in October. The first one is a mental wellness workshop, okay? I like to say mental wellness, not mental health or mental illness, because I don't like to speak things into existence. So we're going to call it mental wellness. And the workshop is called Grief is More Than You Think, because it is. I just went into the different things that grief, comes out of grief. So we're going to have outreach groups on Tuesday evenings from 6 to 8, starting October 2nd, and we're going to get some additional information up about that to give you an idea of what we'll be talking about. But it is a grief relief ministry outreach group, and it's going to start October 2nd, and it's going to be 8 weeks, and we'll have more information about that soon. The other event that we have, we're going to have an overnight getaway. We're going to go visit the African American Museum of History and Culture at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. If you haven't been there, you should join us. If you have been there, you should join us. You know why? Because not only are we visiting the museum, we will also be stopping at the Arundel Mills Outlets and the Maryland Live Casino, okay? On our way to the hotel, we'll stop there for 2 hours from 1 to 3. Then at 4, we're going to check in at the hotel, settle in, visit the activity desk for event details and updates. There's a lounge and games, and you can enjoy the hotel facilities. Then from 6:30 to 8:30, we have a dinner buffet with a live DJ, music entertainment. There's a cash bar available, and it's served by the hotel staff. From 9:15 to 10, there's a comedy show with a family-friendly comic. However, we're not inviting children to this event, because by 9:15, children should be on their way to bed. 10:30 to 1:30 a.m. is the dance party with a live DJ, and that's adults only. And 11 to 1, it's a premium open bar. Now, that's all Saturday. That's all Saturday. That's before we even get up Sunday morning to go to the museum. We're going to have a buffet breakfast from 8 to 10. You can begin to check out at 8:30. Then we're going to board the bus to depart for the museum at 10, arrive at the museum at 11, and we're going to explore this museum. I'm looking forward to this trip, and I hope that you can join us. Again, for all updates and information, just go to our website at KendallHayes.org or authoresKendallHayes.org. It's usually updated on a weekly basis. I try to update that on a weekly basis to keep you updated on things that are going on. Let's see, what else did I have? I think that's about it for today. We have some, what do we have coming up? We have some more authors coming up. I have more authors than anything. So next week we're going to have author Richard Sutton. And his book is – his book is called Fear of Becoming a Man. So you can reach him on Facebook at PDQ Boss, but his name is Richard D. Sutton, and his book is called Fear of Becoming a Man. He also has a full curriculum that he has come up with to address the young men in our communities and their unique issues that they face. And that's another thing. We have unique issues that need to be addressed by us, by us. They can't help us, and they won't help us. We have to help ourselves. So listen in next week and talk to Mr. PDQ Boss, Mr. Richard D. Sutton, a.k.a. PDQ Boss, about his new book and his curriculum that he has set to help our young men overcome the fear of becoming a man. So that's about it. Our time is up. I thank you so much for listening. Those who listen in, I really appreciate you. And just keep me in your prayers, and I will keep you in mine. And hey, let's just harvest an entrepreneurial revolution. How about that? Can we do that? Can you join me in harvesting an entrepreneurial revolution so that we can help ourselves? All right, let's sign out with Mr. James Brown today. Funky President.
Nasty. Hey, listen to the man. Save our money. Do like tomorrow.
so I can change some things around here. I need to be the governor. I need to be the governor. I need to be the governor.